In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
To WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. A huge game for the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow night. And it feels like it's been a very long time since we had a huge game between two good teams, and those two teams were the Eagles and the Commanders. To talk to us about the Commanders, the one and only Brian Mitchell, B. Mitch and Finley, 10 to 2 on 106.7 The Fan, our sister station down there in D.C. What's up, B. Mitch?
I'm good, man. How y'all doing?
What up, broski?
I'm chilling, man. What's going on?
Well, go ahead, Spike.
Well, curious. So Josh Harris is, I would say, not beloved in Philadelphia.
That's one way to say it.
What is the feeling around Commanders fans with their new owner?
He walks on water. You know, I think, you know, he's coming here and he's basically rescued a franchise that was down in the dumps. Dan Snyder had just destroyed it. And Josh has come back and given it life. So I can understand why people here love him. And I can understand why people up there don't have the love for him up there. But, you know, the ultimate thing is he saved something that I think even the NFL loves with this for our franchise here in Washington.
I got to be honest with you. We've never really had the level of hate for each other as fan bases as we may have for the Cowboys or the Giants. But I look at where you guys are set up to be for the foreseeable future, and this could become sort of the rivalry in the NFC East for the foreseeable future. What do you think?
When were you when the body bag game happened?
Well, yeah, I was.
It was hate.
Well, B. Mitch, I was in elementary when the body bag game happened. Did you play in that game? Did you play in that game? Yeah. No, I know you played quarterback in that game.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. When you think about even the mid to late 80s and the early 90s, it certainly was that level of sort of hatred for each other. But you know what I'm saying. During the time that when I came in the league and over the last 10 to 20 years, you know, Washington just hasn't had that sustained success. But I think you guys with Jaden Daniels certainly seem to be headed on the right track. What's the feeling about the rookie phenom down there? And I know you shoot it straight, man. So what are you thinking about the year that Jaden Daniels is having so far?
I mean, I love what he's doing, man. The thing about him, he's a worker. He doesn't act like he's bigger than a team. He indebted himself to everybody on the football team. And the guy puts in the work. You know, and when you get somebody that comes out there and has who works that hard, and then he has a success, you're happy for him. Every time he's done something big, as soon as you talk to him, he's giving praise to everybody else. You know, and I learned that when Coach Cully was coaching me in college. He said, look, man, when you do good, always give praise to everybody else. No matter if they did something or not, they will be more indebted to you. And Jaden seems to have that. You know, he never, ever sits up and tries to take the praise. He understands all he has to do is keep working because, let's be real, quarterbacks get too much credit and they get too much blame. But that dude is even keel all the time, and the dude can actually play. Mm-hmm. That's the thing about it, too.
What is he not good at, I guess? If you were to pick something out in his game that said, question, hey, he's not as – because we don't see him a lot, right? We don't see him as much as you do. Is there a negative there?
I haven't necessarily seen one. I think, like, he's listened to the people telling him to get down, and he's tried his best to do that. And then he was going down trying to protect himself, and the guy fell on top of him and bent him up, and he ended up getting his ribs hurt for a little bit. But I think ultimately you have to let a guy just be who they are. You know, he goes out there and play, and he slid. He's done everything they ask him to do. He reads defenses. He seems to anticipate throws. He can run the ball. He's fast as hell. I think what happens sometimes, well, like with any young quarterback, if you have a successful pressure on him a little bit, you know, like in the game last week, I think he was off a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. But as the game went on, he began to throw balls in people's hands. They were dropping, you know. So I think the thing about him is he's the type of guy where if you throw something at him, he may not know it right off the bat, but by the time the game is over, he's figured it out.
Yeah. I think they did a good job also surrounding him with some good veterans. You guys already had some young talent down there, but bringing in guys like Bobby Wagner, Austin Eckler, Zach Ertz, I'm sure that has certainly helped out as well. When you look at this team, B. Mitch, we know it's a big matchup tomorrow, battle for first place. What's the ceiling is being talked about down there for this team? Is this a, you know, win a division sort of thing, or have you guys started thinking about championship games, Super Bowl? Like, what's the talk around the expectation for the team moving forward?
Well, you know, when you start hearing the fans, you know, they're going out.
Yeah.
But people that understand this game also feel like I tell everybody that they have to learn how to win. You know, yes, it got some veteran players on this team, but there are a lot of young guys on this football team. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to, you know, something like Dan Quinn made an analogy earlier, so you've got to crawl before you walk and walk before you run. And I think they're going to have to learn that in some situations this year. They're way more ahead than people thought they would be at this point. But you're not a finished product just yet, you know. But also, you could be just young and dumb enough to where you don't know how important this is, how serious this stuff is. And that can be scary for a team that may be more experienced than they are.
Mm-hmm.
When you start looking at a team that you think is not supposed to be there, and it gets close to the end of the game and they're still there, you know, that makes the pressure jump to the other side. So I think a lot of fans believe that this team can make the playoffs and do some things in it. But right now, I'm just like, take one game at a time. You know, keep building this thing how you're building it. And if things happen for you, it does. You know, but it's not a rush.
Brian Mitchell with us talking about the Commanders. So we all hear about Jaden Daniels a lot. What else, and Ike mentioned some of the other talent on the team. What else does the team do well, you know, that Eagles fans should look out for on Thursday?
When Brian Robinson is healthy, they run the football very effectively. Mm-hmm. They give themselves thoroughly manageable. They have success on first and second down. They are very good at third down when Brian is playing because, you know, they don't have third and nine, third and 15. They have third and short. And then they could do whatever they want in their playbook. They are very, very gung-ho. They go for a lot of fourth downs. Hell, 11 or 12 on fourth downs. On the other side, didn't start the season off that way, but I think that in the pass rush department, they can get pressure on quarterbacks. And it comes from different areas. You know, I think the young kid, Johnny Newton, he's quick. He's not the biggest dude, but he's very quick and he can effectively get pressure up the middle. And that helps Dante Fowler coming off the end. So,
mm-hmm.
But running the football, they can do well in third down conversion.
Yeah, Dante Fowler, man, he's sort of had a resurgence down there in Washington, man. 8.5 sacks.
Eight and a half sacks, and he got a pick for a touchdown.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm actually curious about your perception of the Eagles right now, because the same thing that fans are doing with the Commanders now, talking about, you know, Super Bowl, we've won 5 in a row here, and people are doing the same things. Your perception of the Eagles, both sides of the football, coming into the game tomorrow?
Well, my perception is that the coach finally got out the way and let the players have the business. You know, a lot of times coaches think they're too smart. They try to do too much, and they normally screw it up. But when you allow players to be who they are, you can start having success. We saw last year, there was those last 6-7 games of the season. It looked like the team wasn't the team that they were early in the season. And when this season first started, they were kind of struggling along the way. But now, all of a sudden, you run behind Saquon. You allow him to lead the way. That takes pressure off Hurts. Takes pressure off the whole team, to be honest with you. And then all of a sudden, when you're having long, sustained drive with a touchdown at the end, the other side now, that offense has to press, okay? Your defense get the rest. So the ultimate thing is they're now going with their strength instead of with somebody developing in a meeting room.
So last one for me, B. Mitch. I'm sure you heard about what happened with Joel Embiid and Marcus Hayes. And years ago, you had an issue with...
I should have did that a long time ago.
There we go.
Listen, man, when a guy is still doing stuff he was doing in 2000, 2001, 2002, and he's still around 2044 doing the same type of stuff, and players still want to put hands on him, I tell you, that man's an ass. That's all it is. Point blank.
So Joel Embiid got one for you. That I think that was for you, probably for a lot of other players
Whenever
that played here.
I'm going to high five him.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll make the pick on your show, but no, you know, people here listen here. What do you think's gonna happen tomorrow?
Who are you picking
night?
Tomorrow, former Eagle?
Well, you know, I had to pick on my show. Nobody even asked me that. But you know, my ultimate thing is when you look at the talent, who has the most talent? I think the Eagles have the most talent. Mm. But sometimes talent don't win games. So I'll just say this here: if the Eagles look past this team, they can be up for a rude awakening. But I would say if I had to go based off of talent, I side with the Eagles. Mm. But, right. You know, sometimes when you got great talent, you get a little complacent. And now if they get complacent, they can have a problem.
Yeah, that's to let you know he'll be rooting for the Commanders tomorrow with no problem.
That's
yes, yes.
You got to be where your feet
are. No, you should be. You should be.
I like to see people gain their stuff and stuff. I'm not really one where, though, hey, everybody paid me some money, so I'm happy.
That's so true.
All right, B. Mitch. Well, we appreciate you coming on.
Except the damn Cowboys.
Except the Cowboys.
Except the Cowboys. Well, we'll tell Marcus you said hello. Mm-hmm. We'll make sure we convey that to him.
One finger salute.
Future, B. Mitch, and I'm going to keep saying this until it happens. Future pro football Hall of Famer. He will be in there one day. He'll be in there one day.
Brother.
Yep, no doubt.
Man. I'll be down late on tonight.
Check okay, bro.
All right, B. Mitch. Thanks, man. The worst thing to happen, first of all, the best thing to happen in that call was his answer about Marcus Hayes and Embiid. The worst thing to happen was him essentially agreeing with Jack on the coach getting out of the way.
Well, because I can have a big picture view, unlike you two, just emotional.
Yeah. So, you know.
I'm just picturing B. Mitch and Marcus Hayes. I still remember that argument, man. I remember it in the locker room.
Do you remember what Marcus wrote or what he said?
Something to the effect of B was old and washed. Yes.
That doesn't go very well.
Generally. Didn't go very well, yeah. I want to say, now I could have the timeline mixed up, but I think it was after B. Mitch went out and Marcus wrote the article before the game. But then I think B. Mitch went out and had a pretty damn good game. And addressed Marcus. It was either after the game or that Monday in the locker room when the media comes in. Yeah, it wasn't one of those quiet arguments in the locker room. It was.
I'm sure Marcus walked away and goes, "I'm the reason you had a good game. You're welcome." I wrote that. I guess I took a page out of Marcus.
I will say this in true Marcus Hayes fashion. He didn't run anywhere, but he also knew people were standing in between them so that he wouldn't get touched there.
Yeah. None of it. Look, no media member wants to fight a professional football player. I can promise you that. You know, the thing he said at the beginning when we asked, because I started thinking about it after I asked him. So the first thing, if you didn't hear it, the first thing we asked Brian Mitchell was about Josh Harris and what they perceived of him as an owner. And he joked and said he walks on water, but really he rescued the franchise.
Yeah.
But he understands why people aren't quite as happy here. But it's funny when you go back to where the Sixers were, and this is just an observation. It's not
he rescued the
Josh
Sixers too.
Well,
he did.
Well, think about it.
He
so
did.
The Sixers, when Josh Harris bought it, and this sounds crazy. That franchise he bought for $250 million is now worth probably almost $3 billion.
I thought it was less than that. Was it 250?
It was 247 or something like that.
Yeah.
So at the time, there was an owner that it was owned by Ed Snyder but did not care about the Sixers. Mm-hmm. Had this tiny little locker room that nobody cared about. They were sort of the redheaded stepchild.
They treated them like that.
Yeah. And within the city, nobody talked about the Sixers at all. It was one of the most dead times in Sixers history that I can remember. Yeah. And it didn't happen right away, but it is inarguable that the Sixers' stature within the city at this point, compared to when Josh Harris bought it, is completely different. They have you can say what you want about Joel, but they ended up with a generational star just like they did in Washington, right? So that has to be part of it. But I would just say the general awareness of the team.
Oh, it's a way. It's not even, it's night and day.
It's not even the same thing.
Yeah, it's not even the same thing, yeah.
So I think with owners sometimes, they're horrible owners and they're great owners, but a lot of them are in the middle. I always say about Josh Harris, he's not one of the worst owners in the NBA. It's really sort of in the middle. But when you look at where the franchise is, you ask any player who practiced in PCOM and then looks at that facility in Camden and say, "Is this a better organization now than it was then?" It's you can't debate it.
It's not even close. And I honestly believe we view him, and I say we because I'm actually a part of the collective with this. Not so much a bad owner, just not. one of us, right? Because he doesn't do like bad things. Like he's not. I mean, he spent money. Remember, we couldn't get anybody to come to the Sixers for decades.
Sure.
And you just think about, even though it hasn't worked out, the level of talent that has been here.
And not just players. Coaches? I think Doc Rivers stinks, but Doc Rivers is a high-profile coach.
Yes, the Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah, and you could look now and say, I want you to put personal view aside on all these. You could look at Daryl Morey, who's generally perceived as one of the few best general managers in the sport. You look at Nick Nurse, who was a very, very sought-after. In fact, the Bucks wanted to hire him. Giannis just didn't want him. So you have one of the better coaches in the NBA, one of the better general managers in the NBA, one of the best players in the NBA. They're looking at a new arena, which I know everybody will fight about now, but when it's there, everyone will be happy with. It's really hard to look at it and say he's done a bad job.
Yeah.
You know?
I would agree. I think If it wasn't that he owned other teams that compete directly with Philadelphia teams, I think people would feel a lot differently about him. And again, I'll go back to it doesn't feel like he's one of us.
Yeah, because he's not.
Yes. So, you know, it doesn't feel that way now. You talk to people down there in Washington. He's from that area. He's very proud to be an owner in that area of a football team.
So let me ask you this, because we haven't talked about it all this week. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that tomorrow night, Josh Harris will be on the sideline for the Commanders.
You think? I don't think he needs to be in plain sight. He needs to be hot hit somewhere.
Well, does it bother you? Are you bothered by the fact that Josh Harris owns the Commanders as the owner of the Sixers?
You know what? I hadn't been bothered, but if I were to see him on the sideline, or even if I see him in a suite, the owner's suite, and you know, he's cheering when Washington scores, or if they so happen, God forbid, beat us tomorrow, and he's celebrating, high-fiving, that's not going to go over well. So that could turn me into somebody that I don't like. Right now, I haven't felt the impact of him being the owner, other than they aren't the old Washington Redskins anymore.
Right.
Where you just feel like they're going to bungle everything. I mean, it does help him that he got Magic Johnson there. That's one of the greatest winners of all time.
All he does.
That's all he does.
And he's a Spartan dog.
Yeah.
Know it.
I personally, I don't care at all. I don't.
Annoying, though.
It isn't even annoying.
No. He can't rub it in our face. That's my problem. Like, you can be there fine, you own the team, but on the field, smiling, wearing Commander stuff, that would rub me the wrong way.
That would rub everybody the wrong way.
You've already kind of.
Bryce is a Cowboys fan.
Bryce used to be a Cowboys fan.
And then he became a Redskins fan.
He was in the city. What'd you want him to do? I don't know why. You always bring up Bryce being a Cowboys fan. I don't know why.
Because he is.
He grew up in Vegas.
Well, here's the thing, though. Bryce doesn't rub it in our face. Even if he is still a Cowboys fan, he's smart enough to know not to let us see it.
Right. So it bothers you that...
Of course it bothers me. It bothers all pure Philadelphians. It's just...
You are the worst.
Yeah, you're not... That's why you got a little bit of that New York in you, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Wouldn't
annoy you if he's walking around smiling tomorrow night? Like, what if he claps after they win or something, like down on the field?
That's what I'm saying.
That wouldn't annoy you?
No, everything he does is so dorky and awkward. It doesn't matter to me.
He's down there high-fiving and celebrating, man.
Yeah.
He might get something thrown at him.
He will. Because people don't feel that way about it.
We're not endorsing that.
Shouldn't do it.
You don't throw anything at him.
Yes.
Just kidding.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I don't care at all. It's never it didn't bother me when he bought the Devils.
That's because you're not a Flyers guy.
Well, I am a Flyers guy. I just don't care.
Now.
Yes, we're Flyers guys here.
Yeah.
If he's
beating Michkov?
I actually think he's going to beat his Michkov.
Well, we'll see what Broads thinks.
Yeah. I don't care. I'm curious. Do people care if Josh Harris owns the Commanders? 215-592-9494.
Somebody's boycotting the Sixers.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
That didn't take long.
Yeah. Speaking of the Flyers, you know, Michkov, after getting scratched for two games,
is
looking pretty good. So
Does Tortorella get credit for that?
Well, that
pressing
that,
the right buttons.
That we will find. We have to ask Broads. So Flyers in 50. What is he up to? I'm going to reset it at 50 seconds.
Oh, good.
I'm going to reset it.
He did well last.
He's done a good job, but only 50. Don't try to sneak talk in before we start it.
He's good at sneaking it in, though.
He is. So
easy in there.
Yep. He just sneaks in a little.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
The big dumb dip one again.
Okay. Flyers in 50 is next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.